Let's pray. Lord God, we pray that you will speak through your Spirit to our hearts and lives, that we may learn from these Old Testament legends of faith and apply those lessons to our lives to serve you more effectively, more willingly, and with greater passion. In Jesus' name, amen. Just thinking about Old Testament legends of faith, the Sunday school were teaching about the Old Testament. And after church one day, a dad asked his little boy what he learnt at Sunday school. And the little boy said, "The teacher told us about Moses and how he brought the people out of Egypt. And they got to the Red Sea, and the Pharaoh was following them with his army. And Moses looked up to God and prayed for help. And God sent Moses to build a concrete bridge. Well, the father looked at his son and he said to his son, 'Well, is that what your teacher told you?' And the little boy shook his head and said, 'No, but if you do not believe this, you're not going to believe what she really said.'" This morning, we're looking at a less well-known Old Testament character, Deborah. And we can read about her in Judges 4 and 5, and it's probably good to read those two chapters to really know about her. And there's three things that I have picked out. First of all, that she was a visionary leader. She was someone who led worship. And she was guided by the Holy Spirit. Well, the name Deborah means, in a literal translation, honeybee. And she is also described as a woman of torches, of fire, of flames, and flashes. She is a woman with a gift of prophecy, with a sting in her tail and a flash in her eye. And she is the first named prophet who brings a word from God that shapes the history of Israel. She was also a judge. Judges 4 and verses 4 to 5. Deborah was a prophet. She was the wife of Labidoth. She was leading Israel at the time. Under the palm tree of Deborah, she served the people as their judge. That place was between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. The Israelites went up to her there. They came to have her decide cases for them. She settled matters for them. Now, Deborah is described as a judge who met people under a palm tree. And I was looking at our judicial system and came across the post of lay magistrate. And lay magistrates are people who are required to have certain qualities. So the first one is good character. They're expected to have personal integrity, to enjoy the respect and trust of others, and to be able to maintain their confidence. And then secondly, to have understanding and communication. They must be able to understand documents, to identify and comprehend relevant facts reasonably quickly, and to follow evidence and arguments. Thirdly, they're to have social awareness, an appreciation for and accept the need for the rule of law. A lay magistrate should have a knowledge of their local community and the issues facing it. And fourthly, they should be mature and of sound temperament. They must have the ability to relate and to work with others. And fifthly, sound judgment. They must have common sense, the ability to think logically, to weigh arguments, and to reach a balanced decision. And sixthly, they must have commitment and reliability, to be committed to serving the community and to be reliable. And I believe our church warden, Rodney, could tell you more about this as a lay magistrate or justice of the peace. I couldn't work out the difference. But and the seventh quality that I would put on Deborah as lay magistrate or as a judge who met under the palm tree would be this one. She was guided by God and she spoke his word. Judges must listen for God's guidance and provide godly leadership for his people. And when we consider all seven qualities, we're coming close to understanding Deborah's role. So it was different from, slightly different from a judge in a court, more like a lay magistrate. But she was a woman who was clearly highly respected and her advice was sought by the community. Her story is a powerful one. At a time of crisis for Israel, Deborah was God's chosen and visionary leader. She was, first of all, a visionary leader. She's a legend of faith because she allowed God to use her for something special. God used her to help solve the crisis in Israel. Now, the scene is that the people of Israel have fallen back into their old ways. They're worshipping false gods, and their idolatry and rebellion has angered God so much that we're told in verse 2, the Lord sold them into the hands of Jabin, a king of Canaan, who reigned at Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera. Now, Israel had an army of 10,000 men under the leadership of a man named Barak, but they were no match for Sisera and the army of Canaan. And the reason? Well, Sisera had 900 iron chariots, and Israel didn't. Pitting Israel's army of 10,000 against Canaan's 900 chariots would have been like sending an army of riflemen against 900 armed tanks. They'd have been massacred. But God has Deborah tell Barak it was time to go to war. And she went with Barak as he led his army into what seemed like a hopeless battle with a superior enemy. They had an edge in the battle because God had promised his people that if they obey him, you will pursue your enemies and they will fall by the sword before you. 5 of you will chase 100 and 100 of you will chase 10,000 and your enemies will fall by the sword before you. That's Leviticus 26, verses 7 to 8. So with God on his side, well, Barak couldn't lose. God was, in fact, using Barak's army as a bait. Judges 4 and 7. I will lure Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with the chariots and his troops to the Kishon River and give him into your hands. God used Barak's soldiers to lure Sisera's chariot into the field of battle. And then once all Sisera's chariots were committed and in the field, God destroyed them. When Sisera was committed, God brought a storm out of the south and it began to rain. And it rained and it rained and it rained and it rained. Now, if some of you watch the Yesterday TV channel, there are war documentaries on there pretty much all day long. And on a war documentary looking at why Nazi Germany lost in the battle for Russia, it was shown that the power of the German war machine was primarily in their tanks. These tanks were the best military machines of their time. They had been the key to Hitler's annihilation of the Allied forces in France. But these tanks were designed for war on the Eastern Front, not on the Western one. What defeated Hitler's tanks was not so much the military might of Russia. It was Russia's land. When that land got wet, it got really muddy. And the German tanks were often bogged down in that mud. They were unable to move. And when that happened, the German panzers became little more than huge pieces of metal that were at the mercy of the Russian forces. And that's essentially what happened to Sisera's forces. The rain came down and the iron chariots got stuck in the mud. They could still move, but they had limited mobility. And then, in addition to the mud, God brought an earthquake. And faced with the obvious reality that Israel's God had entered the battle and Barak's forces weren't far behind, Sisera's forces panicked and began to run away, and so did Sisera. Sisera ran away to the north into the mountains and hid in what he thought was the tent of friends. The woman there fed him and gave him milk and made him comfortable. But after he fell asleep, the woman killed him. There was no mistaking the fact that God had won the victory over Sisera that day, a victory that was inspired by the visionary leadership of Deborah. So Deborah, a visionary leader. And secondly, she led worship. She was a singer. In Judges chapter 5, following the victory over Sisera, Deborah is totally dedicated to singing God's praise in a psalm of thanksgiving to God. And in her song of praise, Judges 5 verses 4 to 5, she declares, "O Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched from the land of Edom, the earth shook, the heavens poured, the clouds poured down water, the mountains quaked from the Lord, the one of Sinai, before the Lord, the God of Israel." And so she's recapturing the story of the battle. And the entire fifth chapter of Judges is dedicated to Deborah leading the praise to honor the power of God in conquering the enemies of Israel. And the singing and playing instruments was something that the prophets did. The biblical commentator Adam Clark noted that prophesying often implies singing. And an example of this is found in 1 Samuel 10, when Samuel sent Saul on a journey. "You will go to Gibeah, and as you approach the town, you will meet a procession of prophets coming down from the high places with lyres and tambourines and flutes and harps being played before them, and they will be prophesying." And 1 Chronicles 25 puts it this way, "David setting apart some of the sons of Jeduthun for the ministry of prophesying, accompanied by harps and lyres and cymbals. They prophesied using the harp in thanking and praising the Lord." So they sang, and as they played instruments, offering up their music to God, that's what these prophets did as prophets of God. And their singing didn't have to be instructive or futuristic in its declaration. It simply could be inspired praise, as it was in Judges 5 with Deborah. And God often uses singing as a way to declare his majesty. In fact, that's what God did through Miriam, the sister of Moses and Aaron, in Exodus 15 and 20 to 21. Then Miriam, the prophetess, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women followed her with tambourines and dancing. And Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea." And Miriam's song of prophecy was exactly like Deborah's song in its declaration of God's power, in its declaration that it was God who triumphed over his enemies in Israel. On their day of victory, Deborah sang with Barak. Israel's leaders took charge, and the people gladly followed. "Praise the Lord. Listen, you kings. Pay attention, you mighty rulers. For I will sing to the Lord. I will make music to the Lord, the God of Israel." And at the end of their song, the Bible tells us, there was peace in the land for 40 years. So Deborah was a visionary leader, and she was a worship leader, celebrating God's victory with singing. And thirdly, Deborah was guided by the Holy Spirit. Deborah was an extremely unique judge, prophet, and worship leader. One of the key things in her life was being open to the Word of God and to the guidance of the Spirit. When Barak and the Israelites felt terrified by the might and the sight of the Canaanite army, Deborah had a vision given to her by God. She was clear on what her role was to be, and she instilled courage in the people by her clear knowledge and explanation of the Word of God. The Holy Spirit was her guide, and Deborah was used powerfully to restore God's people, to bring them peace. And in her prayers, she said she really was encouraging the people forward, encouraging them to be men and women of faith. And as we look at the Bible and the work of the Spirit, we see that from the time of creation, the Holy Spirit has been active, leading and guiding, and indeed leading and guiding Deborah at a time of crisis in Israel, using her to lead the people from captivity to freedom. And Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit at his baptism as the Lord of our lives, to lead all who will follow him from the death of sin to the newness of life. Jesus said that the greatest among you will be those who are the servants of all. And when he said that, he may have been thinking about women like Deborah. Deborah, who listened to the voice of the Spirit, who sang from the heart with praise and thanksgiving for God's redeeming love, and who was a woman of faith. She gave her life into God's hands. She spoke courageously in his name. And it's still true today that we can't be women of faith or men of faith until we first belong to God, until we first give our lives to Jesus. This means we have to be, first of all, willing to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And once we believe, then we need to be willing to turn from our sins, to repent of those sins, and then to confess that Jesus is now Lord and Master over our lives. And to continue living as his disciples, we need daily to seek that power of the Spirit to live our lives for Jesus. It's a joy to read that story of Deborah in the book of Judges. She was a woman of faith, and she took on that role of leadership at a time whenever it was lacking. And we, as people of faith here, need to encourage those who belong and those who don't yet belong to see the importance of knowing God, of knowing the redeeming love of Jesus, and encouraging each other as believers and those who have not yet come to faith to take that step of commitment and to be resolute in our following and in our sharing of the gospel of Christ. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for the example of your leader, Deborah. She was a visionary leader. She was a woman who sang God's praise. She was someone who was guided by the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that we, like Deborah, would give our lives, our heart, our all to serving you, and that we may know and be reborn through the power of your Holy Spirit leading and guiding our lives. This we pray through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ as our Redeemer and Lord. Amen.